Shabbat Shalom. This Shabbat is a special occasion on our calendar, one of five special Shabbatot that we observe between now and Pesach. And these Shabbatot call our attention to Jewish peoplehood in the Torah, in days of old, and in our own time. This Shabbat is Shabbat Shkalim, on which we read from Exodus chapter 30. In this passage, Moses is on Sinai, receiving God's mitzvot. Among these is the commandment to take a census of the people. Unlike the census that opens the book of Numbers and gives the book its name, this census requires payment. Each Israelite registered in the census must contribute a half shekel as an offering to the Eternal. The text continues, He'ashir lo yarbeh, v'hadal lo yamit. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less. Years ago, when I first studied this text, I thought, how unfair! A half shekel may be an insignificant sum to the rich, but it could be an unbearable burden to one who is poor. Why should anyone have to impoverish themselves while the rich stay rich? Reading this verse through a modern lens of economic justice, or lack thereof, I missed the point of the half shekel entirely. The mitzvah of the half shekel is not about the amount of money collected. It is about each Israelite having representation in the community, and most importantly, having an equal voice regardless of their status. As Eliyahu Kitov writes, all Jews are equal before God, and the most important of the divine services, the offering of communal sacrifice, was fulfilled by all Jews equally. There are no rich or poor before God. In the Torah and in the time of the temple, the half shekel contribution was a way to ensure that each member of the Jewish people had an equal standing in the community, regardless of their affiliations or resources. But without the temple, the obligation of the half shekel is annulled. We no longer offer physical sacrifices to God. We no longer have a central place of worship that we must visit and maintain. Why then do we still read this passage on Shabbat Shkalim? Why, in fact, does Shabbat Shkalim remain in our calendar at all? We continue to observe Shabbat Shkalim because its meaning transcends the material circumstances of its origin. We are still a people. Our unity must be nurtured. The multitude of our voices must be heard. Today, the State of Israel stands as the contemporary equivalent of our sanctuary that once stood. It is the source of our identity, not merely a nation state, the modern container for an ethnos, but an essential element that defines what it means to be a Jew. It is the place of our origin and the place of our destiny, the shared heritage of a people scattered across the earth and yet still connected. The opening words of Megillat Ha'atzma'ut, the Declaration of Independence of the State of Israel, articulates this connection. In the land of Israel, the Jewish people arose. Here, their spiritual, religious, and political identity was shaped. The people kept faith with it throughout their dispersion and never ceased to pray and hope for their return to it and for the restoration in it of their political freedom. And, miracle of miracles, it was achieved. The Jewish Commonwealth was reestablished in the land of Israel. A majority Jewish citizenry elects its own government on a regular basis, and sometimes more often. Fulfilling this dream of political freedom regained after nearly 2,000 years. And yet, the establishment of the state did not occasion the return of all Jews to that small but precious land. Today, the number of Jews in Israel is equal to the total number of Jews in every other country in the world combined. And so, only half of all Jews have a right to participate in Israeli elections. So how do Jews outside the state of Israel make our voices heard in Adat B'nai Yisrael, the assembly of the children of Israel? Does such a thing even exist? If you've been reading your emails or have spoken with me in the past several weeks, you know that the answer is an emphatic and an enthusiastic yes. For the past month and continuing through March 11th, the World Zionist Organization is holding elections to its Congress, which will meet in Jerusalem this October. The World Zionist Congress was first convened by Theodor Herzl in 1897. It is the parliament of the Jewish people, and the only political body in the world in which all Jews are represented democratically. The Congress shapes Israeli policy by appointing leaders to key institutions in Israel, including the Jewish Agency for Israel, the Jewish National Fund, and more, and determines how resources are allocated within the State of Israel. Lest you think that this is all very far away and has nothing to do with you here in New York, understand that the Congress makes decisions that affect the status of Reform Jews in Israel and around the world. Reform Jews are not granted religious freedom in Israel. Our synagogues and community centers do not receive government funding, while Orthodox institutions receive enormous sums. We do not have the right to be married by our rabbis and according to Reform traditions and values. We do not have fair or equal access to holy places in Israel, like the Western Wall, where I and my friends and colleagues have been verbally and physically assaulted by Orthodox Jews simply for praying together. Most troubling, the status of Reform Jews who have a Jewish father but do not have a Jewish mother, and Jews who have converted under the auspices of our movement, may not be recognized as Jews at all. But the significance of this election is not only about fighting for our own status as Reform Jews. It is also about fighting for our values as Reform Jews. And so we are concerned with the treatment of non-Jews in Israel. Those who are citizens are granted full and equal rights under the law, but do not always receive them. 20% of Israel citizens are Arabs who face discrimination, limited opportunities for advancement, and poor municipal services to their communities. Those who are not citizens fare even worse. Our Palestinian neighbors in the West Bank are terrorized, evicted without recompense, and seen as problems rather than people. Asylum seekers from East Africa, fleeing violence and death, are barely treated as human beings, subject to blistering racism, labeled as infiltrators, and denied basic services. I wonder what our founders would think of this. On May 6, 1948, they gathered together in Tel Aviv and proclaimed, "The State of Israel will be open for Jewish immigration and for the ingathering of the exiles. It will foster the development of the country, litovat kol toshveha, for the benefit of all its inhabitants. It will be based on freedom, justice, and peace, as envisaged by the prophets of Israel. It will ensure complete equality of social and political rights to all its inhabitants, irrespective of religion, race, or sex. It will guarantee freedom of religion, conscience, language, education, and culture. It will safeguard the holy places of all religions. This election is about preserving our place as Jews in the Assembly of Israel. It is about working to implement our dearly held values, and it is about holding the State of Israel accountable to its founding principles. So, how do we fight for our rights? How do we uphold our Reform values of compassion, pluralism, and democracy? How do we preserve and advance this inspiring vision for the State of Israel? We vote. And we don't just vote. We vote Reform. We vote Reform for pluralism. We vote Reform for equality. We vote Reform for peace. Cast your ballot online or on paper for the Vote Reform slate, representing our movement and its values. Make sure our delegation is strong in numbers. Send me, a delegate on the Reform slate, to Jerusalem this October so I can be a voice for you. Every one of us must vote so that we can achieve a powerful voice in the World Zionist Congress. When we do, we will work, and we will work very hard to build the State of Israel that was envisioned by its founders, and to honor the land that was promised to us by God. We will work tirelessly, and we must, to fulfill that which our Torah commands us in this week's parasha. Ve'anshei kodesh tihiyun li, you shall be a holy people. The inheritance of the land of Israel does not belong to a privileged few. It is not only those with wealth and power who have influence. It is not only for those who hold electoral power in the State of Israel. It was given to all of us, Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, every member of the Assembly of Israel. Each of us has a voice in that assembly, and each of us has a voice in what the State of Israel is and can yet be. Use your voice and vote Reform. Shabbat Shalom.